Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Of course, the challenge is, where are you going to get it hosted? That was a challenge I had until a friend of mine recommended Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you've always wanted to make a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. And be sure to let me know when you get it started, because I'd love to listen to what you have to create. Guy Who Knows a Guy Podcast, Episode 5, interview with Lori McElwee. Hi, I'm Michael Whitehouse with the Guy Who Knows a Guy Podcast, produced by Patrick Howard and Four Unicorns Design. Today we have a great interview with Lori McElwee of the Eastern Connecticut Transportation Consortium. They do amazing work for people in Connecticut, helping them get around where they need to go, whether it's some medical appointments, job interviews, work, just get back on their feet. In today's society, without a car, it can be very hard to live your lives and get ahead. They help people to get where they need to go and get their life where it needs to go. Please enjoy this interview with Lori McElwee with the Eastern Connecticut Transportation Consortium. So I'm here with Lori McElwee of the Eastern Connecticut Transportation Consortium.
Oh, I should have given you lessons first on how to say my last name. It's McElwee.
McElwee. Oh, is that W? Okay. Well, if I didn't mispronounce your name, it wouldn't be the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast, because that's kind of my tradition, is mispronouncing something in your name. And I was thinking, I have your business card in front of me. I'm totally going to get it right, except not. So,
make it memorable, I always say.
Yep. Lori McElwee.
Very good.
Very good. Okay, so we got that. With that out of the way, tell me a bit about the Eastern Connecticut Transportation Consortium.
We're a nonprofit that helps people living with disabilities, low income, and seniors and veterans get to their important appointments. It may be medical, it may be community, social, family. It's our mission just to keep people connected and keep people well.
Okay, by transportation. Of course, that's very important. We don't have a strong public transportation resource in this area.
Right.
So what resources do you draw upon? How are you able to get people around?
Well, we've been working on transportation for 23 years now. We mm-hmm. work with the different COGs, and we develop...
And what's a COG?
The Council of Governments that are in the towns that oversee the programs and making sure that people's needs get met.
Okay.
And transportation is at the top of the list, mm-hmm. especially if you don't have any.
Yes.
So we've been in existence for 23 years, and John, our director, has been here for 23 years. Our office manager and bookkeeper has been here for 23 years, I should say. And Walt, our scheduler, has been here for about 20, and the person that does a lot of our paperwork has been here for about 15. So people come and they never leave. We work really well as a team. We do a lot with a little. And we put all of our money back into the programs. So our programs start with, we'll maybe sign seniors up for a program we'll talk about a little later called a Dial-A-Ride. And when that program, or if that program runs out of money, then we'll have another program, which is the Eastern Connecticut Travel Voucher. And the Dial-A-Ride is just for medical, but our travel voucher helps people living with disabilities for any appointment. Just to get them out to get a haircut, go to church, go to a family event, do something with a friend. So we do know that people do a lot better when they do stay connected and are involved in with people. We do better as a community, and they do better in their lives.
Of course. And are you able to help them get to work as well?
Yes, that's a good question. One of our programs is Rides to Jobs. So up to 3 months, depending on the mileage, we help people start to get to work. Mm-hmm. It's for people of low income. So maybe they don't have a car. Maybe they're just coming out of prison or just coming out of the service and they don't have money yet or the arrangements to have a car or transportation, so we help set that foundation. It's a program that we decide how they get to their jobs. It could be a bus, it could be a taxi, livery, a train. It just depends. like I said, we've been doing this for a long time, so we're pretty good at figuring out the most cost-effective, best way for that person. So a lot of our programs run during the day, but if they're getting out on the third shift, then we have to be creative, and it'll probably be like a taxi service.
Mm-hmm. And where does the funding come from for all this?
We work with the Department of Transportation, both federally and statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a lot of other grants that we receive. I also started a safety net program where I've been able to receive donations from my church, from local organizations. And that safety net kind of helps someone who maybe has a gap or barrier. Like a couple I can think of were a woman whose mother passed away. And at the time, the only way she had somewhere to go was by ambulance. And mm-hmm. so that was like $1,000. And she didn't have $1,000.
Yes.
So with our connection, we were able to get a ride for $100-some, and we paid for it with the safety net.
Okay.
So it's just like one of those feel-good things where it's like a one-time opportunity where it made a difference for her, but we were able to get her to her mother's service. Other times it's a veteran who maybe has local transportation, but he needs to go to the VA, but he may not qualify for their transportation. So one time we're able to help him get to a really important medical appointment that's not on our bus line for seat bus. We can help him take him to that trip.
Okay. And one thing I imagine is the case is, because I'm sure a lot of people see this as money spent as opposed to money invested, but you know, the reason I asked about people going to work is, of course, if someone can work now because you can get their transportation, that's money that goes back on the tax rolls, that keeps them off of public assistance potentially. So how does – what's kind of the return on investment for the money that the state spends on these kinds of programs?
I don't have a percentage of that. I can find that out for mm-hmm. you. I don't really deal with
broad terms, not necessarily hard statistics.
I mean, I think it helps federal, state, locally, where everyone is working, they feel better about themselves. They're giving to their community. It feels pretty good to get a paycheck every week.
Certainly.
So I think they do a lot better working than maybe they would in prison or, you know, it just feels far more fulfilling to have a job.
I feel like there's not many people who would disagree with the idea that working is better than in prison.
I know that was deep. Yeah. I stretched on that one.
But no, I think that's a great point. I think a lot of people kind of look at the short term. They say, oh, do we need to spend this many million dollars? But, you know, would you rather spend this many million dollars housing incarcerated people or mm-hmm. paying public assistance? Or would you rather pay it to get people to work and get them to appointments and and keep them in homes? And
well, especially with the prison aspect, I sit on the reentry committee that meets here at the American Job Center once a month. And when people are ready, they are ready. And so if you can set them up with a job and transportation right out of the gate, then they can get to know their HR department, their coworkers, mm-hmm. and they can start to make connections. Well, it's maybe going to take them 6 months to get a car, but in the meantime, they've met people they can carpool with and maybe give them a little bit of cash. The people in general who do have trouble with transportation, we're finding that they spend an awful lot of their paycheck getting to and from their job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. If we're able to set people up with jobs on the bus line, it's far less costly than, say, taking a taxi.
Definitely.
And I think the families do better, too, because they can continue to work at their jobs and do what they need to do with their lives. And the people working, whether they have a disability or not, if they're able to I can't think of that word. Finagle the
sure.
transportation system. It's better for them, too.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've thought about because I drive Lyft sometimes. Partly because it gives me access to a member, a portion of the community that I would not normally get to connect with.
We need to talk to you.
But no, I never forget that when I gave this kid a ride from Groton City to Foxwoods to work at Starbucks. I'm thinking he's probably making $11 an hour. And he just took a $24 ride to work. It was on a holiday. It was Martin Luther King Day. So I'm sure the buses weren't running. But it probably took him his first 2 hours to pay to get there and the last 2 hours of shift to pay to get home, which if he had to do that every day, he'd be working to pay me, which is
exactly
a huge problem.
What we're talking about. Another portion of our Rides to Jobs program that we were offering, something that was new, was bike to work. Mm-hmm. So we would give them a free bike.
Wow. Yeah.
And that included a helmet, a safety vest, a maintenance kit, tire pump. It was all free. We just needed to make sure that they were low income and that they were set in their jobs, mm-hmm. not something that maybe wouldn't work for them or they decided wasn't good. So once we see they've got a couple paychecks under their belt and they're committed and they live within 3 miles of their job or a bus line, we can hook them up with that free bike. And it's just another alternative. About a year ago, there was a pretty bad blizzard and I drove to work. And my director said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I checked to see if we were canceled, and you didn't cancel." And he said, "Well, I am." So I ended up going back home. But he said, "Before you leave, I want you to stop down the hill at McDonald's because there's a man that just chained his bike up to a pole. He's working at McDonald's." And he said, "I want you to tell him about the Rides to Jobs program and also offer him a free bike." But he didn't take my help. Because he had so much pride, and that's kind of the pride I'm talking about. Once people get established with transportation, they have the power to get to and from their job. It's affordable, and they can succeed. Mm-hmm. So while he didn't take our bike and he didn't take our help, at least I gave him my business card, and I spread the word about our program. So down the line, if he thought, well, maybe my pride isn't so important, maybe I would in the middle of winter like some rides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about options and figuring out the gaps and barriers and what's available to you, and that's what we like doing.
And that seems hugely important. And you know, the more people I've met who are in financial challenge, the more I discover it's often some small, seemingly stupid thing that's the difference between, you know, poverty and self-sufficiency, whether it's daycare or transportation or medical care or just one of those things that we all take for granted.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, especially the daycare piece, because we do take care of that in our Rides for Jobs program, too, where if we are taking you by taxi, we'll take your child to their daycare first and then to your job and then vice versa on your way home. So it's a huge help, and we mm-hmm. are all about families and making sure that people succeed.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And one thing I want to get back to is you mentioned that the staff stays here and never leaves. And I imagine some people listening are business owners who, you know, may have trouble getting staff to stay for 6 months, let alone 16 or 20 years. Now, I'm sure the reason that your staff stays is they probably all make hundreds of thousands of dollars in their nonprofit
jobs.
Well, I do.
And I am getting ready to put my notice in. No. No, we are not well paid. Let me just say that.
So it's not all the money and benefits you get in the nonprofit sector?
No, and we don't have parties. We don't get gifts. It's nothing like that. We all just kind of have a mission-driven heart to help mm-hmm. people. And that's exactly what we do every day. I have a director that gets down in the trenches. We all know each other's jobs, and we help each other out. If there's a slow time or someone out, we can step in and fill in their position.
Okay.
So if you have a mindset for that kind of thing, I think that just makes it easier. We're appreciated, and we're given a pretty long rope.
So it's the fact that you have kind of a mission that you're doing. It's not just, you're not just working for a paycheck.
Right.
You don't get to Friday and say, thank God it's Friday.
No.
2 days of relief from this terrible job. It's really something more meaningful.
Yes. It feels good to come to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Dial-A-Ride program that I talked about earlier, mm-hmm. 13 people have signed up to participate in that medical transportation. And while we are out of money, for that program now, we hope that everyone will sign up again in July when that starts. But a piece of that program that is still working is the caregiver mileage reimbursement. So we will pay a family member, a friend, or a neighbor to take you to that appointment. With the Dial-A-Ride, it's local Southeast Connecticut transportation, New London County.
Mm-hmm.
But with the caregiver mileage reimbursement, we can pay them anywhere they need to go, whether it's Boston, New York, Yale, New Haven, or whatever. So there's not quite a tight distance on that.
Okay.
So it's just another offering that we give that program as well. The travel voucher program, we pay for half of a taxi trip or livery if they're in a wheelchair. And again, that's anywhere, any time that they need to go someplace, we'll pay for half of the voucher booklet. And they come in denominations of $5, $10, $25, and $50.
Mm-hmm.
in those little booklets, let's start with the five. They're worth $50, and we pay for 25, so you'd pay for 25. So you get this little booklet of $50 coupons that you've paid $25 for, and you can go to your appointments. So that's another help that we offer. I am one of five mobility information specialists that was given to certain areas of Connecticut. So I have all of Eastern Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So it's my job to teach people about transportation, not only our programs, but everything that exists. And so another grant that we received was to get money to make up this booklet called Getting Around Eastern Connecticut. And it's all of the transportation in this area and in Connecticut. So it's another thing that I can give out to people just to teach them about what exists.
And where would someone come to get that booklet?
Normally, I go out into the communities. I go to expos, senior centers. I belong to senior networking groups, M-team mm-hmm. meetings. I'll always have those with me. People calling in, it's something I can offer to them. A lot of parents have children that live out of state. So this is something that I can mail to them and show them what does exist.
Mm-hmm. Is there a digital version as well, or is it only in...
Yes.
Okay.
It is on our website, ectcinc.com, and you can find that on our website. You can also find a lot of things on our user-friendly website. You can find applications to be in our programs. You can just print those out and mail those in to me or text or, fax those over to me. And it also has all of our information on how to contact us.
Okay. All right. Are there any other programs that you have or anything else you wanted to share?
Well, we always pay attention when people call in and they want to know what exists. We always pay attention to any gaps and barriers that are existing. So we always look at maybe developing more programs, or if something doesn't meet this need or any more, then we'll look at developing something new. But for the time being... I know what program. The NEST program.
NEST program.
And even though that I know in your magazine area, it's for Southeast Connecticut.
Well, I mean, this goes out to everyone.
Okay.
I was just looking at the stats. We've got listeners in Florida and New York are our number two and three states.
Wow.
New York, then Florida.
That's awesome.
You never know where a podcast reaches all over.
I had no idea. Well,
all over the country.
If someone is listening and they have parents or family members living in Northeast Connecticut, we have a new program called the NEST program. And NEST stands for Northeast Senior Transportation. And it's a program that's quite a bit like our travel voucher. But the difference is instead of paying 50%, they get to have these vouchers free no cost. So said no one ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a great program, and that's until the money runs out as
that's
well.
Great.
So
okay.
I just mailed out my last voucher this week. That's a grant that was provided to us through Senior Resources. So again, we're working with other nonprofits that are out there. Senior Resources is great at finding the gaps and barriers that exist with senior centers and seniors across Connecticut. So this was, they have the same demographic of Eastern Connecticut that we have, so we work together with them.
Right.
So that's a program for seniors who are 60 and over.
And so how did the Eastern Connecticut Transportation Consortium get started? So about 20-something years ago?
Yeah, so I would say it's the Council of Governments got together and we're finding increasingly more and more gaps in transportation. So they worked with 211,
mm-hmm.
and eventually they just started hiring John Rood, who was with 211, to start developing all of these programs, and here we are today.
Okay.
20 years later. And we still have a long way to go, but as I speak with other mobility managers across Connecticut, I think that Eastern Connecticut is really established and has far more to offer with transportation, and they need it. The programs are here. It's just a matter of funding, and do we have enough to do what we need to do?
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that the business community can do to help with this program?
Well, as with senior resources, we work with groups. We take donations from groups for our safety net program. If groups want to help people succeed and feel good about getting to their parents' funerals or to a job or maybe a one-time help with a life-saving medical appointment, we would gladly take any donations that come our way.
Okay. All right. And what's that website again?
ECTCINC.com. And you can speak with me, Lori McElwee, by calling 860-848-5911. And I'd be glad to talk to you about transportation in Eastern Connecticut.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lori. I'm not going to try your last name again, but thank you very much, Lori. It's been great great having you on the show.
Thank you. I sure appreciate everything you do in the community, and you're a lighthouse to a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed talking to her because they do such great work there. That what you don't realize is how important transportation is. You know, most people, you have a car, you've got things taken care of, but the things that can keep someone from getting back on their feet, whether it's transportation, daycare, access technology, the ability to get to the internet to fill out a job application, just the simple stuff that keeps people, you know, in poverty and from being able to be self-sufficient is kind of mind-boggling how many things it takes to function in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think oftentimes, you know, in bad times, the state wants to cut and the government wants to. They say, well, we should cut this transportation program. We don't need it. But they don't realize that often, and I wasn't able to get exact statistics, but a lot of these programs, you know, every dollar you put in, you get $1.50, $2, $3 back.
Right.
Because it puts people back to work.
Right,
and they
exactly.
Make tax money. And they also get off public assistance because they're able to get a job and take care of themselves. And
love it.
All that kind of good stuff. So it's really, really great. That's why I like to help them get the word out what they do and,
yeah.
You know, let more people know about the services available, which is really really great. She met her in the first place at there was an expo at the Groton Senior Center.
Oh, cool.
Don't remember if it's the Active Living Expo or one of the others, but, you know, resource expo for seniors.
Sure.
Because they can help people who can't drive anymore.
Right.
So we were talking about them, and it gave her a spotlight in Groton Mystic Neighbors.
Oh, good.
Which got her name out there, and then yep. We connected again, and here she is in the podcast. So, yeah, it's really great to share kind of the good work that they do. So I actually did not have someone send in a question for this episode, but I had something I wanted to kind of use as the prompt. So I find that the question tends to be sort of just a prompt for the second half conversation.
I'm okay with that.
And at church this morning, there was a great, great parable sort of that was used, that I think ties in well, especially because we interviewed a great nonprofit agency. So the parable is that there was a man who's very depressed at the state of the world. And he's looking around, you know, with all the terrible things happen, people starving and violence and war and disease and you know, all the strife in the country and division. And he says to God, he says, God, with all this terrible that's going on, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you sending something to change the world?
Right, right, right.
And God says back to him, he says, I sent you.
Oh.
And it's just this, and you realize, yeah. Yeah, in certain religious traditions, the, you know, God is all powerful and just kind of waves his hand and things change.
Sure.
But in the real world, we don't see a lot of divine hand waving.
Nope.
But we do see a lot of the people in the world who are,
yeah,
sometimes it's as simple as God puts the right person at the right place to do the right thing. And sometimes like, sorry, you're it.
It's you. Like, you got it.
If you want God to make a difference, that's you. You are the hand of God to make
around.
A difference in the world, yeah. which is both great and terrifying.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, great that like, oh, good, God is doing something. He sent someone. Who'd he send? Me. Shoot. Oh,
it's you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like, you know, we look around the room and you're like, we need an adult. You are the adult. We need an adult. You're adults.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely like that.
Yeah.
Like, I constantly forget that sometimes I'm the oldest person in the room, especially when I was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, little kids everywhere, 18, 19, yep. 20 years old, and I realize, oh wait, I'm the old guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. There's another version I heard once, which was it was a church a church committee, and they were talking about, or it was a few members of a church committee that had the authority to do something.
Sure.
And they're saying, you know, well, we should change this thing. And someone said, well, you know, that's really up to the committee. The committee's going to have to decide that.
And somebody looked around the room and realized that, you know, let's say it was a 9-person committee and there are 5 committee members sitting around the table talking informally. Mm. And they're all like, yeah, well, we got to wait for the committee and the committee's got to do this. And we got the next committee meeting's next week. And we got to, you know, until the committee decides we just can't make this change. And finally, someone looks around, counts the people in the room and says, we are the committee. Yeah, when we're saying the committee, like that's us.
Wait a
minute.
and
how often does that happen, whether it's in nonprofit work and charity work in business,
yeah,
that you're kind of waiting for someone else or you're waiting for the adult in the room, right, or you're waiting for authority and you know, for entrepreneurs, it probably happens a lot too.
Yeah, they realize, oh, wait, it's me.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah, you've been doing something the same way for a year and a half. It's not working. You're like, well, I can't change it because it's how we do things.
Well, who's we?
Who's we? Like, you're the 3-person company. You're the boss.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need that reminder of you are the committee. We are the committee. We're the ones to make it happen. There's not going to be someone else.
You have the power.
No one's gonna come in and rescue us. It's us. It's just us. Well, that's terrifying. Society is run by primarily 35 to 55 year olds. Oh, I'm in that age range.
That's me.
Look
at that.
No. Yeah, we're in the generational cohort that has the influence now.
Oh, no.
Well, guess we need to start.
You just
doing
made
this.
Me really nervous.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, you know, when you're a child, you have parents and you figure they can solve anything. You know, something is broken,
oh, sure,
and dad
yeah.
can fix it. And
that's right.
He's magical. And
that's right.
And you kind of grow up with that sense. Yeah. And then you hit your 20s and 30s and you're like, no one's magical.
Nope.
No one has the answers. And as I am doing more business consulting and work with more business owners and meeting some people, you know, very esteemed business, successful business people, and realize they don't know that much more than anyone else.
Yeah.
They just either worked a bit harder or a little bit smarter or had the right opportunity to what they know they're able to leverage.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a simple matter of confidence. The person with the same skills, the same ideas, but they're more confident about it, so they push it through.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that gets to the kind of imposter syndrome idea.
I think the first time I started noticing that was with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into college, and even now that I'm going to college again, I'm seeing it a lot where it's just like, you know, this is just a dude who went through business, and now he's kind of retired from doing his business stuff, and he wants to teach, and he's standing up here, you know, guiding us through this textbook, giving us some of his wisdom.
Yep.
You know,
but at the same time, the reason I didn't do consulting for so long is I said, well, yeah, I know some, but like, I don't have an MBA. I didn't work for
you didn't feel qualified.
I didn't work for Boston Consulting.
Right.
So, you know, why should someone pay me? And then I start meeting potential clients and realizing like, and I'll have a casual conversation. They'll throw out a problem, and I'll say, "Well, you know, obviously, what you'd want to do is this and that." And suddenly, they're taking notes, and I'm like, "Wait, why are you writing that down?" Because I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
I'm like, how have you? I heard that from 8 different podcasts,
right?
3 people I've talked to, and 2 YouTube videos.
To see, how you're have you motivated, never heard that? But, right? Like that's the thing.
It's mostly us have weird hobbies.
Yeah. Well, that too.
Yeah, and that's the power of multiplication. I was actually talking to a client recently about the power of multiplication, that it's doing small things hundreds of times.
Yep.
You know, I was looking at my stats recently. I think I've made something like 5,000 phone calls since I started with the magazine.
Holy moly.
Yeah. But, you know, each individual phone call is just one phone call. Yep. But you do it thousands of times, you build a business.
Yep.
And I just watch a lot of YouTube videos, listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of books on tape. But if I added it together, I've probably listened to thousands of hours of business tips and advice and strategies and concepts. And most people haven't, because most people have. And that's the difference between a consultant and a, you know, business expert who's good at, you know, who's a carpenter or is a painter or therapist. If you're a therapist, you spend thousands of hours becoming a better therapist.
Right, sure.
If you're a carpenter, you spend thousands of hours becoming a better carpenter.
Right.
You're still not good at business.
Right.
But you're really good at building stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm good at is building your business, building stuff.
There you go.
And it's a soft skill. It took a while for me to kind of come around to like, oh, that's a really useful skill.
I should sell this.
I should sell this. Yeah. Because I had trouble because it wasn't directly monetizable.
Right.
Until I realized it was monetizable through the businesses that already had a monetization. So the carpenter can already make money off hammering nails into wood.
Right.
But he needs to get more people to give money for it.
Right.
I can help him make more money. The graphic designer can make money designing graphics.
Right.
Graphically designing. Yes.
Designing graphically.
Yep. But but I can help create that money.
And that's perfect.
Like, and suddenly, oh, I've got a place.
Right.
Only took me till I was nearly 40.
Well, I mean, and truth be told, that's the reason why I'm in small business entrepreneurship school right now. I'm in school for that degree, that associate's degree. And that's the reason, is because I have all these great skills. I just don't know how to be a business person.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And it's, yeah, because so many people have skills and just don't know, you know, don't know what to do with them, don't know where to go. And the first thing is, biggest thing is a lesson for me and a lesson for so many entrepreneurs is to realize you have a skill that has a value people will pay for.
Yeah.
Because once you've learned the skill, it's easy for you.
Right.
You know, doing, I imagine for you, doing design, doing audio engineering is fairly easy.
It is.
It doesn't really feel like work.
Well, and that's why it's so hard for me to put a price on
right.
it. You know? Well, I mean, the audio engineering is easy because I went to school for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, I got student loans.
Right.
Pay me.
but it's hard to say because you feel like, oh, I'm just doing this. I'm playing around on my computer. Like, yeah, how hard is that?
It's pretty easy. I mean, you've watched me do this. It's. I mean, for me, it's fairly easy because I know exactly what I want and know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. But of course, what someone's paying for is not the 25 minutes I watch in front of me.
Right.
It's the 2 years behind the 25 minutes.
Right.
You know, you're not paying. Yeah, the same way when you hire a band, you're not paying them to play for 2 hours.
Right.
You're paying them to practice for 10 years before they played for 2 hours.
That's right.
So you're paying them to practice for 10 years.
Yep.
So you're paying them for the results of what they made. So that's really the power there.
I wish more people understood that about bands.
Yes. Well, hopefully they listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Our 10,000 listeners.
That's right.
Total over the years.
years.
Someone's listening to this sometime in the future, and it's true.
It is true.
In New York and Florida.
Yeah.
That's the metrics. I think I mentioned that in one of the interviews, possibly next week's interview, that our number one state, of course, is Connecticut. Number two is New York, and number three is Florida.
Florida.
Florida, yeah. So.
Hi, Florida.
Hi. How's it down there? Probably warmer than it is here.
We're glad you're listening.
Yes. Yes, glad you're listening. Even though I like cool weather, but I like listeners anywhere. Whatever the weather is.
Ooh, you know what? They could be snowbirds.
They could be.
Yeah.
That is possible. Yep.
Yep.
Could be anyone. You never know.
Yep.
It's the internet. It reaches everywhere.
I'm okay with that.
Yes. So my recommendation for this week is a book called Time Warrior by Steve Chandler. Hmm. I read that book as part of a book club. The Chelsea Groton Bank here in Groton has a book club that meets once a month.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So they have a branch in Center Groton, which is it's a kind of experimental model for them, but it's trying to make the branch more of a center, a place to go beyond just, you know, cashing your check and whatnot.
Oh, is that the branch that has that sweet little area with the couch
yes.
and stuff?
Yep. Yes.
I know what you're talking about. We had a meeting there once. Yeah.
Yep. So they do, they do a lot of education things there. They do they do a book club, and you don't even have to be a member of the bank.
Yeah.
You know, anyone in the public's welcome to come in, but it's just a way to get people to engage with the bank. It's brilliant marketing.
It really is.
But I discovered the book through that. And the reason it's called Time Warrior is that the key thing is that you approach how you manage your time and thus your energy like a warrior, you know, ruthlessly cutting out things that don't serve your benefit.
Right.
And not spending too much time on it. And of course, I'm recommending this book having read it almost a year ago. So I'm trying to remember all the key points of it. But the things I really remember is one idea is kind of make a decision and make it quickly. Because a lot of times you linger on a decision or you put it off.
True.
And that's what the big things they talk about is do it now. You know, if it's a 6-hour project, obviously you can't just get to it now. But
sure.
if you get a voicemail. And you're like, oh, I got to call this guy back and he's going to yell at me and it's going to be an awful conversation. Just do it now.
Just do it now.
Because it's not going to be nearly as bad as thinking about it for the rest of the day.
Yep.
So whatever it is weighing in your mind, just do it. And if you're not going to do it, write it down on a to-do list or a calendar. Either way, it's out of your head. It's out of your head because it's done, or it's out of your head because you have a system where you can put it in a queue and you'll get to that queue.
Wow. Well, So
you put it in your calendar and say, okay, 5:30, and calendars are better than to-do lists.
Right.
So, like, oh, I can't do this now, but calendar, 5:30 tomorrow night. Boom, in the calendar. Now you forget about it. It's in the calendar.
Well, then 5:30 rolls around. You better make it happen.
Yes. Yep.
Don't put it off again.
Yes, you either do it or put it in the calendar again.
Okay.
You can do either. But you don't care, because that's what's exhausting, is carrying around this kind of non-specific,
right,
vague
and then
anxiety.
You'll inevitably forget.
Yeah. 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 And that's what you're always afraid
that's
of.
That's what happens to me.
You're afraid of forgetting. Yep.
Yeah.
And now you've got, even if it's five things, each of which would take 2 minutes, you're going to be running at 60% effectiveness all day.
Yeah.
Because you're worried about, what did I forget? What am I not doing?
Yeah.
Oh, what was I supposed to do?
Yep.
And then you'll remember something, you'll do that, but you won't do, and you never feel done.
Yeah.
Because you haven't finished. But yeah. So,
oh, that's a good point. Yep. You never feel done.
Mm-hmm.
Feels yep. great to be done, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. For what you need, a list. So, so that is the book is Time Warrior by Steve Chandler.
Sounds awesome, actually. I might pick it up.
And then the question of the week is, what is it that you do that offers the greatest good to the world? Now, that could be volunteer work. That could be something your business does. That could be running a great business, taking care of your people well. It could be something entirely unrelated. But what is it that you do that offers the greatest good to the world? Send your answers to michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. I look forward to seeing them and reading them on the next episode we record, which will probably be episode 7.
Yeah.
Because we are doing another marathon recording session here.
That's right.
And I believe...
You can send in audio clips, too, which I'm really excited about.
You should
about.
Totally send an audio clip.
I want to hear the audio
yes,
clip.
Yes, you should send an audio clip.
Especially you, Florida. I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Yes, especially in Florida, because in Florida, you got... There's recording studios everywhere in Florida, right?
There's got to be.
Like, you just go into 7-Eleven, there's a recording studio
Well,
there.
Full Sail's down there, so yeah.
So there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just going to imagine Florida's full of recording studios.
They got to be.
Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been to Florida since I was 8, so I'm just going to kind of...
You don't need a recording studio. Just use your phone.
That's true. You don't need... Phone's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Phone does it just fine. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. I am Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy. You can find all that I do at guywhoknowsaguy.com. My assistant here, partner, is Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Design.
Four Unicorns.
Four Unicorns. Not three unicorns. And
no,
five is right out.
Five is too many.
Yes. And what's the website again for Four Unicorns?
Ooh.
Is it...
FourUnicornsDesign.wordpress.com.
FourUnicornsDesign.wordpress.com, where you can see some of his work. And
I'll be adding some more things to it shortly.
And some sort of contact form where you can say, I would like to give you money to do things for me.
Yes, I will take your money to do things for you.
And he does good things for your money. So you should do that. Well, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to subscribe. Don't just listen. Go subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever else. Any of those other things. I think you can subscribe on Anchor also, but subscribe. Whatever you do, subscribe. That way you'll hear every episode as it comes. If you're not on my email list, go to guywhoknowsaguy.com and scroll down to where it says join the email list. And that way you'll get an email every time an episode comes out.
It's probably my favorite email list I'm on.
I'm glad.
It really is.
I do try to make
There's so much useful crap in there.
Yes. Yeah. I've actually, the latest twist I've added to that is because I'm always experimenting, trying to get more engagement. The letter I put at the top. I'm trying to make that more narrative. It had been more of kind of like bullet points of like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to make it kind of a mini blog, 100 words.
Yeah.
Something you might actually want to read. Because I've seen a couple email lists I'm getting where when they're more of a letter, I'm more inclined to read them. Whereas if it's just information, I'm like, I don't have time to absorb this information. Scroll, scroll, scroll. And the other thing that I've done, and of course, the reason I'm saying this is for all of you who are doing email marketing, which if you have a business, you should be collecting email addresses and doing email marketing. Use MailChimp. It's free up to 2,000 subscribers. If you have more than that, then you've got more than 2,000 subscribers, so it's negligible cost.
Right.
But you should definitely be using it because it eliminates platform risk. So if you're saying, oh, everyone's following me on Facebook, well, that's cool. If Mark Zuckerberg decides that he's going to eliminate organic reach, you're out of luck.
Yeah, true.
Oh, everyone follows me on Instagram. Yeah, Instagram changed their format. Now it's videos only.
That's right.
Or, whatever it is, you always have platform risk because the platform – like when we talked a few weeks ago about Etsy.
Yeah.
The platform can do whatever they want.
That's right.
Email is pretty stable. It's more of a medium than a platform. No one owns email.
Right.
So there's a little bit of platform risk, but at least you own all those email addresses and there's a lot more control there. So if you are running a business, you should be doing an email list. And that way you can connect directly with your readers, your subscribers, your fans. But what I did was I added quick links at the top.
Oh, cool.
Because I can see what everyone clicks on.
Yeah.
And I was getting less and less clicks. And I said, maybe they're not scrolling all the way down looking at stuff. So let me just make quick links right at the top and I'll see. And the first week that got some good engagement.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if it'll get good engagement after that.
That's funny because I always like to scroll through it. I do. I like to scroll all the way to the bottom, find the job section, like who's looking for work, who's not looking for work. I like all of it.
Yep. Well, and the other trick, the challenge of the analytics is I can only see what people click on.
Oh, so interesting.
So if they're scrolling down and reading everything, I can't see that. I can see at least the quick links at the top did get a whole bunch of clicks. The first, I used the same links the second week. So may not get as many, but
you can tell if somebody opened it.
I can tell
if
they opened the email at all.
Deleted it immediately without opening it or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I can tell if they open it or not.
Right.
But I can't tell what they look at. I can only tell what they click on.
If I remember right, it's anonymous too. You can't tell who did what, right?
No, I can tell.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I know my wife used MailChimp for a while, but I don't remember. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wow. That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. So the neat thing is it's well set up, and I haven't done this, but I should. I could do a survey pretty easily.
Oh, interesting.
So I could have something that's like, you know, do you like chicken McNuggets? Yes or no? And both links could just go to my website, but I could use the, or to a site that just, you know, thanks for voting.
Right.
And I could then use the MailChimp analytics to say, okay, I got 27 clicks on yes and 32 clicks on no. And, and makes, you know, kind of an informal survey.
Interesting.
Yeah, because often it's often what's trying to do is drive engagement that you can see.
Right.
Because you could be reading every single word there, but I don't know it.
Right.
So I don't know if it's working or not. And that's also the trap in social media and digital marketing.
Right.
Is the lure of engagement. Oh, I got all these likes. Oh, I got a bunch of clicks.
That's not.
Yep.
That's
but
nothing.
It could be I'm getting a whole bunch of clicks, but there's someone who reads it every week but never clicks on anything.
Right.
But then and never actually forwards it to a friend. I don't think I can't see forwards. So never clicks on anything, but forwards it to 30 friends. But I would not see that in my analytics.
Right.
So I might be thinking, oh, it's not working. And then change the format away from what's making you forward it to 30 friends.
And then that person's screwed.
Person's like, this is dumb now. I'm going to unsubscribe.
Oh, no.
So yeah, you always got to watch out that just because it looks like analytics. And I try to explain this to people with community publications all the time. There's no analytics on a magazine. It goes out to 3,000, 4,000 homes, whatever it is.
Right.
We know they read it because I talk to them. I talk to a lot of the readers, and we've done enough surveys that we know people are engaging.
Right.
But we can't track who's reading what. We can't necessarily track that the magazine made them come in, but we know that it's working because branding works.
Maybe if there was some sort of engagement, like an online engagement, like some sort of call to action in the physical publication that prompted them to go to the website or the Facebook page to do something.
So you could
then you might be able to start to track
it. The challenge is the power of the branding is that people are seeing it over and over and over again.
Right.
So a call to action won't do anything because the call to action only work when they actually have the need. And the power of the
I was just gonna say, if I'm sitting down reading the paper or whatever and they have something like say, go to our Facebook page to do something, I'd be like, oh, now I gotta
I'm not going
to I gotta
page.
Go find it on Facebook and I gotta
Yep. Right. So if I see a car dealership ad 50 times that I'm not in the market for a car, then I'm not going to do anything. But the 51st time I am in the market, and now I'm going to go to their Facebook page because I've heard of them 50 times before that. Yep. And unfortunately, a lot of small businesses get so focused on that direct response that, you know, they clicked, they bought now.
Right.
Realtors trying to go after people who are about to sell their homes, but never marketing them before that. They're going to lose out to the people who have been present the whole time.
Right.
Because once you're, you know, as soon as you're starting to think about selling your home, you get ads from 75 different realtors.
I'm not even thinking about selling my home, and I'm already getting people like trying to buy my house.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and of course, I've now said out loud, sell my home a couple times, which the Facebook app just heard, because I'm fairly certain that the Facebook app actually does monitor the microphone on your phone. You're not paranoid. They are listening to you.
You've got
to
be right. Yep. They have to be.
Yeah. And there's no reason why they couldn't. The app has access
to
your microphone.
There have been some really uncanny, like off the wall products I've been talking about with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I open up that Facebook app and there's a freaking ad for exactly the random product I was just talking about.
You're not paranoid. They're listening in.
It's gotta be.
Now my attitude, I know I could easily turn off the microphone permissions. Right. I don't, because then I couldn't do Facebook Live.
Right.
And my thought is that even if Facebook could hear everything my phone hears, one, they have no reason to compromise my data beyond their business.
Right.
Now, if I was a major official, a CEO, a big deal, then I'd probably be a lot more careful with my device.
Sure.
You know, I don't have any compromising information that Facebook's going to
get their hands on.
And if they were to compromise, you know, sell that data in a way that could be used, that would compromise their business.
Right.
So they don't want that to get tracked back. So they'll just use it for their marketing purposes.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's a price I'm willing to pay for the tremendous value that social media offers.
Yep.
Now, is that a price everyone should pay?
Maybe not.
And on a community level, on a society level, there should probably be rules in effect that prevents them doing things like eavesdropping on all our conversations.
Yeah, that's true.
That is probably a thing. But on an individual level, I'm willing to take that. Because that's the whole thing when they talk about delete face, you know, hashtag delete Facebook. So ostracize yourself from the community so that you can have a little more privacy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, given, especially in my business, where it's all about being out there.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm willing to accept that. But it would probably be good if I didn't have to make that choice of ostracize myself or maintain my privacy and not be listening, to not have my phone
bug. At the current moment, really, you're just getting a bunch of super targeted ads.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, okay.
Yeah. And it's sort of one of those things where I kind of hope the societal trend will. And, you know, perhaps I'm being impossibly naive and terrible things will befall me. And maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what becomes of that. But I heard I saw a comic a couple months ago where it had side by side, had, you know, like 1984 and what people were afraid of. And then it had someone in 2019 saying, in 1984, someone's like, no, be careful, there might be wiretapping the phone. 2019, okay, wiretap, what's the weather today?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I installed a bug in my house so they can tell me the weather and play music for me.
That's why my wife won't let me have one of those.
Yeah. My wife wanted to get it. We have an Amazon Echo.
Do you really?
I unplug it. Yeah, because it does not provide value. My phone provides value for me. There's like useful things it does for me.
Well, your phone could do the same thing
that I need. Yeah, and it listens in the same way.
Yeah.
But it provides that. The Amazon Echo does, it plays music. Like, I can do that on the TV. I can do it on my phone. I can anywhere else. So that's why I don't do that.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten quite there yet for me.
Yep.
I mean, I do have quite a few smart home things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like lights, and I've got the Nest thermostat. I've got a camera. I've got all kinds of fun things.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not quite there yet.
Yeah. And I was looking at any of those things have worst case scenario. Like what's and the other thing is there have been issues where the Amazon bug devices have taken there's one story where they took a sound file from one house and sent it to another.
Interesting.
By accident, it will mishear you and do things you don't want it to do because it thinks you told it to.
Interesting.
Because it has too much power and not enough control.
Interesting.
So that's kind of the danger too. So my phone's not going to do anything. I mean, it may be listening to me,
right?
But it's not going to do anything because it's not authorized to do anything.
Right.
It's just transmitting my conversations to Facebook.
It's fine.
But
Facebook.
Yeah. But, hi Mark, how you doing? Doing good. I hope the weather's nice in California. Send me some good ads that are like worth seeing. I sometimes get ideas from the ads I say, actually, so it's good. But you know, the Amazon, there's stories of not so much eavesdrop, but just bugs.
Sure.
Where they'll, you know, there was the FaceTime bug where.
Oh yeah, I think I heard about that. This was an Apple problem, wasn't it?
Where people have listened in on other people's conversations and So that's more the issue that I'm worried about than a big company collect, because a big company collecting my data, they're going to do it right. They're going to do it discreetly. They're going to hold on to it.
They've been doing it for years. Yep.
They don't want it to leak because
then they'll be screwed.
Yeah, that's their proprietary information.
Right.
Whereas if it's more of a communication device, then there's the risk of it being like, oh, you wanted to communicate? Hey, we turned on the camera. You want to do that, right?
Yeah, you wanted to do that, right?
Yeah, call mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Mr. Smith's wife says, oh, God, she does not mean call mom.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the danger of voice controls,
right?
And their ability to mishear things, and that can create awkward circumstances.
Yeah,
yeah. It takes butt dial to a whole new level.
Yeah, really.
21st century. Welcome to the future.
It's beautiful.
We don't have flying cars, but we do have wiretaps that might accidentally call your mother.
That's fine.
Yeah. You never know.
Yep.
So thank you for listening to us in the future, which, of course, if you're listening to this, you are in our future.
True story.
I'm Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy. Find more of our stuff at guywhoknowsaguy.com. Our producer is Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Designs. I think we said this like 20 minutes ago.
We really did.
I think we went through the end
this
of the
This was like 20 show. Minutes ago. Yep. Yeah, you're right.
And don't forget to like, subscribe, and do all that stuff now that I've told you twice. And do something awesome today. JV Connect is coming up quick, December 12th and 13th. If you are looking for a networking event where you can meet people who aren't looking to just pitch you or take, but actually want to collaborate, build strategic partnerships, joint ventures, maybe even find some mentors, some coaches, people to support you, accountability partners, who knows? If you're looking for good people in an environment that's not stressful, but is set up to give you a lot of great connections in an efficient amount of time, check out JV Connect. jv-connect.com. That's jv-connect.com. December 12th and 13th, 2023. We'll see you there.